And we are live for a very special edition of Better on Draft. I don't know what half episode, what number episode this is going to be, because I don't know when I'm going to get it out, hopefully within the next week, week and a half. But my name is Ken. It is Thursday, and I am drinking a Rochester Mills milkshake stout. Now, the reason I'm doing a Rochester Mills milkshake stout is because we do have a special guest. We actually have a lot of special guests, because as you can see to my right, I got our writer Ed here. To my left, former host Matt Bush, Rob, current host. And of course, we have a state representative from the Rochester Hills area, Michael Weber. How are you doing today?
Good, very good. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you coming on. The reason why we brought you on is you actually brought up a bill for legislation that we have talked about on this show a handful of times. Now, Matt is a huge proponent of this bill in the sense to where he would love the area of Greektown, actually, very specific based on what we were talking about, to be able to have open intox where you can go from bar to bar, club to club, casino to bar.
Bourbon Street bill.
Yeah, the Bourbon Street bill. There you go. You could close down the road. You know, there's that little road down there that would allow you to kind of, keep drivers out. But why don't you, this is your 6th year in state legislation. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your history over in Rochester Hills, and then kind of just take us into HB 5781.
All right. Well, very good. I appreciate you guys having me. And grew up in the Rochester Hills area, and I was on city council there, and, kind of dovetails into this bill in terms of local control on, having the social drinking zone areas. And it's something that we've been talking about for some time. I know Rep Iden, who I still serve with this term, but he was the chair of regulatory reform last session when I served on the committee, and he had never introduced it, but he worked through several drafts with the former chair of the Liquor Control Commission, Andy Deloney, and never with a lot of other legislation he was working on, he never really was able to get it introduced last session. So when I became the regulatory reform chair this session, which is really an honor to do that because it's a great committee, and he kind of turned the draft over to me and said, hey, why don't you work on this? There's some interest there. And as I was working on it, I had members from both sides of the aisle come up to me that have, little downtowns, big downtowns, all sorts of areas, but they saw what was going on in Ohio, what's going on in some of these other states with these social districts. And they said, we have a lot of local interest in this. So we worked on it throughout most of 19, and we're just getting ready to get it out the door and get it introduced in the spring. And then COVID-19 hit. And so that delayed some of our legislative process, but it actually has made for kind of an interesting introduction because, restaurants and bars are seeing this as potentially an opportunity to expand their capacity. Given, that when they do open, as we're seeing in Traverse City and up north right now, they're probably going to start off at a 50% capacity. And what better way to try to increase that capacity with, some outdoor stuff, with some ability to kind of, go from one place to the next. I kind of, I was trying to explain it to my wife the other day, and, her and her girlfriend sit down at one bar in downtown Rochester, and they order a drink, and then their friends say, hey, we're across the street, we're at this other bar, why don't you guys join us? And that type of scenario happens all the time. And how I envision is you maybe get 3, 4, 5 bars that compete with each other, but they also want to work together in terms of this social drinking zone, and they'll go to their local municipality and say, hey, we have a real interest in doing this, and we think we can do it in a safe, effective way. Obviously, there's some stuff we have to work through in terms of liability, in terms of enforcement, so some of that kind of stuff, but really trying to give the local control and have the locals kind of work through some of those hurdles. But we just know in states, all across the United States, but particularly in our border there in Ohio, they're able to do this effectively and efficiently. And so we see it as kind of a, you know, something that can really help shot in the arm, if you will, for these bars and restaurants. They're struggling so much right now because of the closure, because of COVID. So, and we introduced it last week. It went to the Regulatory Reform Committee, and we will, we're trying to get a hearing scheduled for, if not this coming week, then hopefully very early in June. It's going to be tied into with a bill that the Restaurant Association is really pushing and other folks with regard to liquor to go. And I do believe, you know, on the Senate side, there's already been some introduction of similar legislation this week. But that's another thing that over 30 states have been able to do that, especially during this COVID thing. You know, a lot of people are getting takeout, their favorite food establishment. If they can also get, you know, some liquor to go, that would be, you know, a positive step as well. So, and I know they can already do some of that with beer, with growlers and that kind of thing. And yeah, so we're trying to be as industry friendly as we can, knowing that they have, you know, small margins. But I also think it'll be good in terms of attracting folks to downtowns and getting people back out of the house when it's safe to do so.
Matt, you got a question?
Yeah. So, I mean, you kind of already started, but you know, where do you see this happening in your district? I mean, I'm familiar with Rochester Hills. I actually was the on-premise beer rep for downtown Rochester for about 6 months. So do you actually foresee people going from, and he's gone.
No, he's still here. The video's gone.
No,
you're fine.
I'm sorry. I tried to get something on my screen.
He probably just had to pick his nose, and he didn't want any of us to see.
I'm sorry.
Like, do you imagine people, you know, like getting a beer at Tula Roos and then walking over to Rochester Mills with a beer in their hand?
You know, so that's a good question. I think, you know, I don't know if I necessarily, I think I looked at it more from a kind of a global statewide standpoint than I maybe necessarily did the Rochester area. Obviously downtown Rochester would be the only real spot in my district. I think ideally, you know, if I was putting my former city council hat on, I probably would want things to be a little more condensed and a little bit closer to each other than that. For instance, as I've talked to the city of Grand Rapids, I mean, they're looking at, you know, they see the potential to maybe do two or three different zones, you know, depending on the interest level. So I really don't know. I haven't really talked directly with the city of Rochester about it. I just saw it as more of a, I introduced it more as the regular reform chair and less as the state representative, I guess, from the Rochester area. But I do see where city of Rochester, I mean, they have some outdoor seating now at some of their places. You know, so there is some interest. And the other thing I've talked to some other reporters about on this bill is you're already seeing Traverse City and some of these other cities talking about shutting down different streets to have maybe more like outdoor, you know, seating and some of this kind of stuff. And so you could see something like that maybe in Rochester if they want to do it, but it'd probably be more on a short-term basis than like a long-term basis.
Are you talking like short-term days or short-term like Friday, Saturdays?
Yeah. I mean, for something like Rochester, I think, you know, and I'm not fully versed on what they're doing in Traverse City, but I think they're just looking at, you know, closing some streets for a little while to offer more outdoor seating, which will obviously help build the capacity for some of these restaurants that are hurting so much. And yeah. And so it's this kind of a similar concept, I guess, in that regard. I look at this though, as it's not just, I look at it past, you know, COVID-19 though. And, you know, I'm hoping we're still doing something like this 25, 30 years from now when we're not, you know, going through a pandemic.
So I guess kind of picking up off where you just left off, what's to prevent a municipality from just doing this without state approval? I mean, what, I mean, I live in St. Clair Shores. We have something called Rockin' the Shores where we shut down what's finally now being called downtown. And we put a stage on one side. There's a ticket booth on the other side and you can go and pick up beer. I mean, I suppose Macomb County could come and send the sheriff and the state could come and send the actual, you know, state troopers. But if I'm St. Clair Shores, Rochester, Traverse City, like you just mentioned, what's to stop from just like not enforcing the public intox in certain areas, almost like a full red light district for beer?
Yeah. No, it's a good question. I think what we're trying to do, you know, with this bill is obviously, you know, make sure that they know that they can do that. As a former city council person, I can tell you that, you know, a lot of times they all have city attorneys and they all talk about, you know, kind of the liability or potential liability of doing something. And so, you know, most of those type of things probably would go off without a hitch, you know, as long as the local law enforcement is tuned into what's going on, particularly if it's like a one day thing or a weekend thing. I think we see this as obviously a longer, you know, year round, you know, type of deal. Although obviously it would be more popular in the summertime when the weather's better. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I think that also takes into account that it's an outdoor festival. So you're not going to, you know, restaurant A grabbing a beer or a cocktail and leaving and going back into the festival. If you go to like Pig and Whiskey in Ferndale, I can't go into the WAB, grab an amber and walk outside. Like they have vendors outside and they have, that's where you can get your beer to walk around that Nine and Woodward area, which is, you know, completely closed off. But I think that's the change that I believe you're trying to make, Michael, is that you're trying to make it so where the cities can do this without being handcuffed, like just giving them another alternative to do something, especially for tourism, too. Because if you have a decent, even small downtown, like if you're in like the city of Niles or something like that, where you might want people from the you know, within 10, 20 miles that there's nothing else in that area to come to you, that would be a great opportunity where your three or four bars, you can bar hop without having to worry about, oh, well, everyone's finished, but you with your beer, you have to now slam your beer to go. And we've all been in that situation before in one point or another because the party bus is leaving or we're bar hot, you know, especially if you're in Ferndale or Royal Oak. Rob, do you have a question?
Well, I guess I was just thinking, you know, with places like Ferndale and Royal Oak, you know, they have those areas where, you know, there is a multitude of bars and breweries. I guess I kind of look at it from the brewery standpoint and just look at Detroit as a whole. And other than, you know, Eastern Market and kind of Corktown, as we as a city is for craft beer is kind of still a desert. And, you know, we've got all the bars, but I guess I'm thinking that with Matt's question on, you know, Rochester Hills and, you know, how close these places have to be. I mean, what's the general expectation of how close these bars and breweries have to be in order to fit into the social district window?
Well, and again, and that's a really good question. I think we're trying to give cities, you know, a lot of flexibility. Actually, as Grand Rapids was looking at the bill as drafted, you know, I think there's some language in there about these facilities having to be adjacent and they're trying to get that language out specifically for that. So I don't think they see people walking blocks and blocks and blocks, you know, but I think they would like to, if there was like one, you know, kind of, you know, maybe a block away or this and that. I mean, if they want to try to draw more people into the district, you know, that they can do that. And I don't have an issue with that because ultimately the cities are going to have to enforce it and the bar owners are going to have the liability. And if they feel comfortable with it, I certainly feel, you know, comfortable with it. So we're trying to provide maximum flexibility. That's really the key. And I think the other part would be hopefully, you know, I don't know, especially after COVID-19, you know, where people are going to be at in terms of opening up new restaurants or new bars. But I do think, you know, if some of these get established, even if it's just a couple bars, you could maybe even attract, you know, business to that district. Somebody say, you know, oh, hey, I could open a bar right next to these two bars, create a third or a fourth, you know, bar in this district. And people are already coming to the district. So, you know, there could be some economic development opportunity there. You know, obviously a lot of times we think of how things currently are, but I mean, you know, you could certainly see some economic development, you know, happen with something like this if these districts take off.
So I'm going to hop in here real quick. And you mentioned 2 points, both before and after Rob. You have an insurance background. I believe you're still a licensed agent. Believe it or not, I do research.
Yes.
So right now, as it stands, if you're in a bar and there's an issue, the bar owner is liable. When you leave the bar and you're on the sidewalk, if there's an issue, usually it's the municipalities that's the issue. So we already have, let's call it what it is, a clusterfuck of an insurance policy all throughout the state, both the property and casualty side, the healthcare side, and the auto. I mean, that's a different story altogether.
Sure. So
I go to bar A and I walk to bar B. On my walk to bar B, if there's an issue, either I vomit, I hurt myself, I get into a fight, who is the party that is liable? Is it the bar A that served me the drink? Is it B, the municipality, because I'm on their sidewalks? Is it bar B because that's where I'm going? And I mean, that A, that's question of the first, I guess.
Or is it you?
Yeah. It cut out a little bit, but it's a good question. I think, and it's something that these city councils are going to, you know, I think the bill is relatively silent on it at this point in time. And so that's going to be something that we either flesh out or we give guidance to the local municipality. You know, some of the discussion we've had is, you know, if one of the, let's say there's four bars in the district and one of them overserves somebody, but then they kind of end up passing out in the other bar, this and that. I mean, who's, you know, and I think it's going to have to be a partnership among the bar owners in that district, that they're all kind of in it together, so to speak. And so there's got to be some trust and some different things like that. In terms of like the sidewalks and this and that, I still think the municipality would be liable. And sometimes people trip over themselves on sidewalks for different reasons besides just being drunk. But I mean, sometimes there's legitimately some issues with the sidewalk or it hasn't been kept up. And so there's a lot there and no doubt. And we, we do, you know, in my insurance background, we do insure, you know, some restaurants and this and that. So, I mean, it's going to be something that we'll have to take a look at in my day job, I guess, when I'm term limited out of this. But and it presents some issues, there's no doubt about it. But I think the pros outweigh the cons, you know, in terms of the package.
So quick follow up on that. So let's say I am at bar A, okay, and I do have an issue with a police officer, because I'm sure drunk in public, or there's still going to be some ancillary citations that aren't going to be waived. I mean, you can have an open intoxicant, but if you get drunk, if you get belligerent, et cetera.
Sure.
Is there going to be a uniform mechanism? Perhaps my thought was glassware or plasticware or whatever. If I'm at bar B and I get it to go, it has to be in a uniform cup that's traceable back to bar.
That's what my question was. Are we going to have red Solo cups be handed out, or like what sort of flexibility?
It's a good question. And actually in the legislation, it talks about as a very specific, you know, cup. And I don't know, you know, how I would envision it, although I don't know if it says that particularly spelled out in the legislation, would be kind of a logo of the district and then maybe a logo of each, either the bar that did it, obviously to the point of one of the, you know, one of the folks. So those two logos, or, you know, you could maybe even have one with the logos for all the participating bars. But it's a good question. And the, you know, obviously it would be like a plastic cup of some sort, but we do want one that designates that this is where they got it. They were in that district. And then obviously when they leave the district, they're not supposed to be, you know, taking it further. And so that's part of why we want the bars in theory somewhat close, you know, close to each other so that there is a district that people recognize.
Now I'll open it up to Ben or to Ed and Rob in a second, but again, back to your insurance background, a restaurant's going to have either a rider or an enhanced policy to do this. I mean, restaurant insurance isn't cheap because of, you know, you've got foodborne illness, you've got, you know, fire hazard insurance that you're doing on this. Are you concerned that the increase of the rider to allow to go alcohol might almost negate the gains that you would get from, you know, this benefit? Because maybe, let's say year one, it goes well. Maybe there's a couple issues, and now the insurance companies want to know, especially since they're traceable, how many to-go cups that you filled, and then that gets factored in. And then you have a sliding scale of what you're paying on insurance based on your to-goes, and it's almost like a sales tax where there's a variable cost here that isn't exactly just a fixed here. It's flat. So how sure. do we, you know, get, I guess, can we legislate the insurance into this as well where, hey, insurance can't go X on a to-go rider to prevent this from being, you know, as prohibitive on the cost wise?
You know, it's a good point, and it's something we'll probably look into. I don't really know how the carriers will look at it. I think some of the carriers that write in Ohio and some of these states already probably have a good feel, and it's probably something that we can learn from other states, kind of where they're at. And there's no doubt that it's not for everybody. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Some of these cities are not going to want to do this. Some of these bars are not going to have a lot of interest in it. But I do think, you know, there's a way to do it. And certainly, you know, like the area in Toledo, they have not been, you know, deterred from doing this. And so we think that there is a way to do it. Frankly, other than our, well, the healthcare is kind of a different thing, but really other than our auto no fault, which we've attempted to address this session, our insurance industry in Michigan is fairly, you know, common to a lot of other states. And frankly, I like our workers' comp is probably better than a lot of other states. And so it's hopefully insurance will not be something that holds back business owners from looking at this concept, but it's a good question.
One of my questions was, I know I was joking about the red solo cups and you mentioned having the specific cup with the bars or the district or anything like that. But what about, you know, to go cans and stuff like that? Like, would I be able to pop a can and drink it in the district, or would I have to have that
specific? I think the way we've got it set up now is it would be in the cup. So I think you would have to maybe pour it into the cup, and that's similar in other, you know, venues and different things like that. But, you know, I mean, we're still kind of working through that, but I think the thought is to not, obviously not have like a glass, you know, or something like that. I mean, so definitely have a, you know, a plastic cup, but, you know, trying to kind of, limit, you know, some of the stuff that's going to be outside. So
I think the they would probably go for what they do over in like downtown Vegas, where I mean it'd probably be, you'd have to be a little bit more control, having the cups maybe behind the bar. But in Vegas, like, there are cups right at the door before you leave the doors to go on to Fremont Street, where you just pour the beer, pour the cocktail into a plastic glass, leave your glass there, and go on with your day. So that's what my guess is that there'd be some type of formula to get a to-go cup. So if you bought a can of beer, or say I bought a bomber of a beer and I don't want to drink all of it right away, I could pour the rest of whatever I purchased into a glass and then just kind of keep on walking. I know we told you 6 o'clock. I'm going to make sure, see if we have any more questions, and then kind of just let you go. Matt?
Yeah, I know that you've also done a little bit of work with, you know, Ways and Means and Taxes. Is this going to be something where maybe you pay a dollar to walk the street? Like, you know, maybe there's a tariff, you know, to be in the district. And
maybe pay for the dollar.
Yeah, I mean, that's my thought is, let's say that I can get a beer for $5, but they'll put it in a to-go cup for an extra dollar, and that money matriculates to both city government, and then maybe up, you know, maybe the city gets 75 cents and the state gets a quarter, at least to mitigate the cost, but also to promote, I don't know, schools. I mean, that's for something
yeah.
that you guys always like to talk about, is like funding schools. So that would be my one thing is, you put a tariff on the glassware to go. I mean, obviously,
well, I mean, cities could technically introduce that themselves, right? They have the authority to add that rule.
Yeah. I mean, so we don't have it currently in the bill. Really, I think the only thing we've got is just the district would get a license from a liquor control commission. I think we kept that pretty low, like $250.
Yep.
But it's certainly another, you know, good idea that, you know, these cities could certainly, especially if you're talking about tourism and that kind of thing, as you're getting more people in there, there's a little bit more of a, you know, something, you know, as you're part of that district. So yeah, it's worth thinking about, and it's worth maybe offering that up to the locals and kind of leaving it up to them. You know, I see this as a really big local control issue just from the standpoint of, you know, if there's the interest that I've seen, you know, from Southwest Michigan, Southeast Michigan, Grand Rapids, all these areas, you know, this bill's trying to address that interest, and they want kind of the go ahead from the state that this is something that legally they can do. And you know, we're going to support them in that. And, so yeah, I'm hopeful we can get it going here.
Figured Rob, it out. A stamp.
Hi, Matt.
I'm sorry. I figured it out. If you get a rubber, like a stamper, like remember when you were a kid and you would get a hand stamp to because you're old enough to be at the bar. If the bar just uses their logo to stamp the bottom of the cup, that could solve all the issues. So
yeah,
with that I got.
Gotcha. Good ideas. So
just keep writing them down. Rob, any last questions?
No questions. I'm just, you know, wanting to see how this is going to work in Detroit and whether or not the council would actually do something like this. Whether they would actually put forth the time and effort to even try it. And I don't want it to end up like a certain truck tour that's about to happen, concerning some particular fruit that is coming from Georgia, where they are doing tour stops in Michigan, but they are not stopping in Wayne County, which looks like it's on purpose. And so I'm just like looking at, you know, these municipalities and doing this and just hoping it doesn't turn out like something like that, where I've got to jump through multiple cities just to be able to enjoy this.
I mean, not to say it out loud, but let's just say it out loud. If the Illiches and the Gilberts think that there's a lot of money in it, then there's a lot of money in it. And it'll happen one way or another.
I mean,
my opinion, not the opinion of Michael Weber here.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess put the bars together like that, then yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, to be honest, one of the folks that were originally interested in it, what was the Illiches specifically for the outdoor, you know, atrium area there at the new arena. And so, but that would be something obviously they'd have to work with the city council on. And
there's nothing that stops the city from making multiple districts inside the city, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, Grand Rapids, you know, their people have already said they envision two or three of these, you know, and they do have, yeah, obviously I haven't been over there as much as I've been in Detroit and in our neck of the woods, but, you know, I have seen some of their areas where you could probably clump together three or four bars and make a district. And, so they're looking at multiple districts. Yeah.
Ed, any other final questions for our guest?
No, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
All right. So I got one I got one final question before we let you go. We appreciate you so much for stopping by. We're excited to see these types of laws. I think one of the big things within the state of Michigan is seeing, I think, the advancement of alcohol, liquor, beer, capabilities, laws, getting it to the fans, getting it to the people who want to drink it. Hopefully we see, you know, within the next year or two, groups like Drizzly come into our state, so that, you know, each beer store like Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills doesn't need to, have Jack literally deliver his own stuff. Somebody can, you know, pick it up and some third party. So my question to you is, what is your go-to beer in your fridge right now?
I probably should have been more prepared. So I do get into some of the craft stuff. You know, we go to Rochester Mills. We're up in Bel Air at least once a week, you know, 1 week a year in the summer, and we go over to Shorts a lot. But realistically, I probably keep it kind of more in the, you guys probably hate me, but more like a Stella or a Heineken or a Labatt, something in that ballpark, yep. You know, yep. And, yeah,
you know, so one of the things is that our other sponsor, North Center Brewing, says if you like it, it's a good beer.
It's a good beer.
Yeah,
and you know what?
Can I ask one more question, and we can stop recording if you want. But I've always had this idea, and it's kind of from my Central Michigan days. I would love to retrofit an ice cream truck and sell beer out of the back of it.
And did you see there's a mobile liquor truck in California?
So I actually called an old colleague of yours office probably 7 or 8 years ago, but I think it would also really cut down on, you know, DUI and, you know, issues in like college towns if there was a beer truck that drove up and down and it had, you know, basically the back stock of a party store, but you could do the transaction right there as having to go to the party store or all that stuff. You know, and maybe it plays pop music and it gets going. Like everybody knows that you're there.
Call them. Yeah, the kids won't be as excited because there's no ice cream, you know. But
I think this truck's rolling around at 10 o'clock. They should be asleep.
Yeah. That's maybe one of the thoughts about this, like liquor takeout, you know, like, if you can be able to, deliver, you know, as folks are delivering food, you know, if they can deliver some beer, some liquor. I mean, it's kind of in that same vein. So I think if people didn't have to drive, you know, out and do that. And I do think obviously with the ride sharing, hopefully, more people are being responsible in terms of drinking and driving, but I know it's a good point. So.
All right. That's going to do it for us here at Better on Draft. Once again, Michael Weber, thank you so much for
joining us. Guys.
What you think of your beer, we think it's
Better on Draft.
Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace. All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Bye.